since I'm giving this presentation about communication, is 1.03, communication, where we learn that the lawyer's obligation is really tempered by what is reasonable. There is some obligation to keep a client reasonably informed to the extent reasonably necessary to allow the client to make informed decisions. Once again, please do your best to meet these standards, whether you regard them as low, middling, high, or otherwise. One way that I think it is useful, and others at my firm think it is useful, to keep a client informed is to have a task list. This is what mine looks like in all of my cases. This is not talismanic. You can come up with any form of task list that you like. I think this is a good one. For every case, once a week at least, I will circulate to the entire trial team, which means lawyers at my firm, legal assistants at my firm on the case, the client, which could be an in-house lawyer, or it could be a business person, it could be both, it could be an individual, co-counsel if we have them, a task list showing every task of any moment that is taking place. So the notion of call legal assistant and ask to bring me document, that's not of great moment. That's not going to be on the task list. But reviewing production to make next production to opposing counsel, that would be on the task list. That is a task that takes some time. When's it due? Who's going to do it? Not Sussman Godfrey, not client, but what person is responsible for this task and what is the status of that task? Update it, keep it evergreen. Client will be informed. All court dates, hearing dates, deadlines, briefs due, including the other sides, because it's worth knowing. All that goes on the task list. Some people like to bold court dates. Some people like to use all caps. Do what you will. Come up with your own method. It is a great way to make sure the client knows what is happening in the case. It avoids surprises. Why did I just get a bill for $15,000 of legal research plus another $2,000 from Westlaw researching this question? Well, the answer is because we talked about it 2 weeks ago. It was on the task list, and you green-lighted it. No surprises. Client may say, I don't think we ought to do that task. And if it's not important or important enough, fine. At least you have informed consent. Some form of this is useful. And as you'll note in the nice box across the top, there's a reference to weekly conference calls. In every case, unless there is some great lull in activity because the case has been abated or otherwise, we will have a weekly call for 30 minutes or less, once a week at an appointed time. Clients can ask questions. You run through the task list. Anything else that anybody wants to bring up to discuss, you discuss it. Limit it to 30 minutes. It doesn't take too much time. If there needs to be more discussion, people have the time, continue it. Otherwise, schedule more time. But it is good to have this on your calendar. If you go on vacation to Port Aransas because you want to catch some big fish or otherwise, maybe you'll miss it. That's okay. Someone else can fill in. It is great to have it on the calendar. It's good communication device. It is also useful to have effective communication with your opposing counsel and reach various pretrial agreements that may make it less expensive and certainly less annoying to litigate. It is good to have good relations with opposing counsel. It is not always something that you will enjoy. There are plenty of times that you will not see eye to eye and that people will get less than pleasant in litigation. You do what you can to do your part. Big Daddy Steve Sussman is very proud of this website that he has formed called Pretrial Agreements. So I'm out here pimping for it because there's some really good ideas in this website. I'm not sure I agree with the color scheme that he's got. I don't know what the message is on the green overwhelming, but I can guess. In any event, it's worth looking, and some of the concepts here are borrowed, some are not. And unlike what Eric has said, where I agree with everything, sometimes with Big Daddy, you know, reasonable minds can differ. But the ideas are good, and you ought to look at this if you've got some spare time and a bottle of red wine. So one idea is, how do you deal with discovery disputes? A lot of times, younger lawyers are tasked with handling matters of discovery, mundane and otherwise. And they talk to each other when there's a dispute. How come you didn't produce this category of documents? What about this claim of privilege? That doesn't make any sense to me. What's your basis? And they will quickly escalate because some lawyers today like to deal on electronics rather than in person or by phone. And email is a little on the tone deaf side. And things can escalate. And emojis just don't quite stand in for facial expression sitting with someone across the table or at lunch. So it is useful to have the lead lawyers on a case who presumably have some seasoning and perspective about what really matters and what doesn't, and what compromises both sides can live with, before a motion is filed for discovery abuse or to compel, have the lead lawyer see if they can't work it out.